Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
I'd like to welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering today, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's now continue with hymn number 417. Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Wonders of His Love. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, Joshua. The Lord will do wonders among you. Deuteronomy. Well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs, and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. Psalms. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. Yea, he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? He had commanded the clouds from above, and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled. He had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they feared not. First Chronicles. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. John. Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea unto Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Matthew. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Acts. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Multitudes, both of men and women, brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. 1 Corinthians. Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? John. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Mark. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by our leader, Mary Baker Eddy. There is today danger of repeating the offense of the Jews by limiting the Holy One of Israel, and asking, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? What cannot God do? Miracle. That which is divinely natural, but must be learned humanly. A phenomenon of science. From beginning to end, the scriptures are full of accounts of the triumph of spirit, mind, over matter. Moses proved the power of mind by what men called miracles. So did Joshua, Elijah, and Elisha. The Christian era was ushered in with signs and wonders. In Egypt, it was mind which saved the Israelites from belief in the plagues. In the wilderness, streams flowed from the rock, and manna fell from the sky. The Israelites looked upon the brazen serpent and straightway believed that they were healed of the poisonous stings of vipers. In national prosperity, miracles attended the successes of the Hebrews. But when they departed from the true idea, their demoralization began. Even in captivity among foreign nations, the divine principle wrought wonders for the people of God in the fiery furnace and in kings' palaces. A miracle fulfills God's law, but does not violate that law. This fact at present seems more mysterious than the miracle itself. The miracle introduces no disorder, but unfolds the primal order, establishing the science of God's unchangeable law. Thou hearest me always. Jesus said, I know that thou hearest me always. And he raised Lazarus from the dead, stilled the tempest, healed the sick, walked on the water. There is divine authority for believing in the superiority of spiritual power over material resistance. Miracles are impossible in science. And here science takes issue with popular religions. The scientific manifestation of power is from the divine nature and is not supernatural, since science is an explication of nature. The belief that the universe, including man, is governed in general by material laws, but that occasionally spirit sets aside these laws, this belief belittles omnipotent wisdom and gives to matter the precedence over spirit. The mission of Jesus confirmed prophecy and explained the so-called miracles of olden time as natural demonstrations of the divine power, demonstrations which were not understood. Christian marvels, and marvel is the simple meaning of the Greek word rendered miracle in the New Testament, will be misunderstood and misused by many until the glorious principle of these marvels is gained. Jesus established his church and maintained his mission on a spiritual foundation of Christ healing. He taught his followers that his religion had a divine principle which would cast out error and heal both the sick and the sinning. He claimed no intelligence, action, nor life separate from God. The question then as now was, how did Jesus heal the sick? His answer to this question the world rejected. He appealed to his students, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" That is, who or what is it that is thus identified with casting out evils and healing the sick? They replied, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets." These prophets were considered dead, and this reply may indicate that some of the people believe that Jesus was a medium controlled by the spirit of John or of Elias. Yearning to be understood, the master repeated, "But whom say ye that I am?" This renewed inquiry meant, who or what is it that is able to do the work so mysterious to the popular mind? With his usual impetuosity, Simon replied for his brethren, and his reply set forth a great fact. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is, the Messiah is what thou hast declared, Christ, the Spirit of God, of truth, life, and love, which heals mentally. This assertion elicited from Jesus the benediction, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." That is, love hath shown thee the way of life. Before this, the impetuous disciple had been called only by his common names, Simon Bar-Jonah, or Son of Jonah. But now the Master gave him a spiritual name in these words, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," the meaning of the Greek word Petrus, or stone, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell," Hades, the underworld or the grave, "shall not prevail against it." In other words, Jesus purposed founding his society not on the personal Peter as a mortal, but on the God power which lay behind Peter's confession of the true Messiah. It was now evident to Peter that divine life, truth, and love, and not a human personality, was the healer of the sick, and a rock, a firm foundation in the realm of harmony. On this spiritually scientific basis, Jesus explained his cures, which appeared miraculous to outsiders. He showed that diseases were cast out neither by corporeality, by materia medica, nor by hygiene, but by the divine spirit, casting out the errors of mortal mind. His sublime summary points to the religion of love. Jesus established in the Christian era the precedent for all Christianity, theology, and healing. Christians are under his direct orders now as they were then, to be Christ-like, to possess the Christ spirit, to follow the Christ example, and to heal the sick as well as the sinning. When will Jesus' professed followers learn to emulate him in all his ways and to imitate his mighty works? Those who procured the martyrdom of that righteous man would gladly have turned his sacred career into a mutilated doctrinal platform. May the Christians of today take up the more practical import of that career. It is possible, yea, it is the duty and privilege of every child, man, and woman to follow in some degree the example of the Master by the demonstration of truth and life, of health and holiness. Christians claim to be his followers, but do they follow him in the way that he commanded? Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Who believes him? He was addressing his disciples, yet he did not say, "These signs shall follow you," but them that believe in all time to come. The life of Christ Jesus was not miraculous, but it was indigenous to his spirituality, the good soil wherein the seed of truth springs up and bears much fruit. Jesus instructed his disciples whereby to heal the sick through mind instead of matter. In Latin, the word rendered disciple signifies student, and the word indicates that the power of healing was not a supernatural gift to those learners, but the result of their cultivated spiritual understanding of the divine science, which their master demonstrated by healing the sick and the sinning. Now, as then, these mighty works are not supernatural, but supremely natural. Hold perpetually this thought, that it is the spiritual idea, the Holy Ghost and Christ, which enables you to demonstrate with scientific certainty the rule of healing, based upon its divine principle, love, underlying, overlying, and encompassing all true being. The miracle of grace is no miracle to love.